everyone, and welcome to episode 82 of Cat Context Podcast for Wednesday, September 23rd, 2015. My name is Lior. With me today are my two usual co-hosts, Aerolite and Alindriel. And today we're going to talk a little bit about the Taken King in Destiny. And we're going to talk about some TV shows, and we're going to talk about some free-to-play, why it's terrible, you know, our usual routine of things. Alindriel, you were not here last time. How have you been?
Good. I was on a plane with a baby, I think, when you were recording last time, so that was awesome. And since then, I've made two more plane tickets with my baby, so you are welcome, all of you flying people that I'm sitting next to.
Yes. And how was this his first flight?
It was his first flight. His first flight was on the way out. It was okay. And then his coming back, he was like tired from the weekend of being passed around to all the relatives, and it didn't go nearly as well. So we'll see. We're coming to Seattle in October, and then at the end of October, we're taking a 10-plus-hour flight to England. So we'll see how that goes.
That's gonna be fun.
It'll either be awesome or terrible, or we'll drug our baby.
Benadryl.
Hopefully with the doctor's permission, or with, you know.
Benadryl, a little whiskey, whatever, it works for me.
Yeah, I think Talon got gin and tonics from her parents when she went on flights to England, so...
I could see that,
you
know, also.
Yeah. Whatever you got to do.
Yeah, exactly. Look, yeah, it totally helps me when I fly. And I'm the same way when I fly back. I'm really cranky because, you know, you're tired out from travel. So I can understand where
it's going. And it's not even exciting when you land.
Right, exactly. Because you're just like, I'm home and I have to do all my laundry now.
And I got to go to work.
You send your baby to work?
Yeah.
It's San Francisco, man. They start him young.
Yeah, he's got programming class on Monday.
Yeah, exactly. When's his Kickstarter? Come on.
Oh, good Christ. Apparently I'm the worst mom.
I read this thing the other day. Millennials, look out, because I read my first Generation Z naval.
Oh, come on. You should say Z. How did you? There was like physical pain. There was like physical pain when you tried to do that.
It kind of hurt to not say Zed, but I knew you would laugh at me, but you did anyway, yeah. So I should have just said
it's
it.
It's true.
Generation Zed. There. Yeah, the Queen's English.
Moment is gone.
Anyway, but it was funny because apparently, I don't know, I saw a bunch of millennials getting kind of shirty about like, oh, look at the talking about all these like 18-year-olds. Oh, they're going to change the world. Oh, and I'm like, yeah, that's right, millennials. Get used to those think pieces. Anyway, Aerolite, how are you? And how was your weekend?
This was my oldest 5th birthday party this weekend. And everyone finally left my house about an hour ago, and I want to die.
I feel like you've been kind of in a perpetual series of birthday parties for the last little while.
Yeah, because there's my youngest is in the beginning of August, and then there's my niece, the young Sith, who is the day after, and then there's the Gup's birthday, which is right now, and oh my god. Oh my god. I'm so done with people, like, forever.
Did you, like, chase them all out of your house with a broom?
No, I did not have to, because conveniently none of the younger children actually took their naps because they were too excited about party. So everyone was very cranky and ready to go to bed.
That sounds like my drive back from the beach today.
So I have a big glass of wine and grown-ups.
Thanks for calling us grown-ups. I appreciate
it.
Well,
I mean, you at least speak comprehensible English instead, as opposed to my 2-year-old, who I can mostly understand, but also frequently they're screaming for no reason. And I could probably beat you if you were screaming and no one would call CPS. So
that is technically true. It wouldn't be CPS. That's true. It wouldn't be CPS.
But also, I could argue that you totally deserve it, and no jury in the world would convict me.
Wow, this got really intense. I'm a little worried now.
Seriously, I had 12 people in my house for 5 hours.
I feel that you're really intent on thinking of ways that you can legally hit other adult humans with sticks. So I can kind of feel where you're coming from here.
Human pinata, right?
There indeed were several people that I wanted to beat until candy came out.
They're obsessed with pinatas at my new office. Like, we get a pinata for, like, everything. Like, it was a good sales day, we get a pinata. We got a pinata when they fired people.
That is fucked up. That is more fucked up than me thinking about ways to beat people legally.
Ellie, you've been playing Destiny, and do you miss the Dinklebot? Is it the same?
No, yeah. So the new expansion came out Tuesday, and it's very WoW expansion like this one because it was like a full rebalance of everything, and they changed the whole leveling system. So now you kind of level up to. It's weird because they still have light, which was the thing, the like gear based level system that they had before, but now your light is just an average of your gear, so they just made it gear or eye level or whatever we called it, gear score. Yeah, it's weird. But the actual character levels are like 1 to 40 instead of 1 to 20, even though you could get to 34 through fake gear levels, whatever. But as part of this, they also went back and redid the whole story. There are some big air quotes for everybody that is not watching our stream. Yeah, they redid the whole story, and I think they added a bunch of stuff, but I haven't really experienced it. So I jumped from 360 to PS4 as part of this, and they give you a little token to boost up to the new content level one of your characters, but Yeah, it was really nice, actually.
But you didn't especially use it because you're a grumpy man.
No, I didn't use it because they told me that they redid all the story.
Okay.
Cut Peter Dinklage, who was the voice of your companion, floaty companion, Navi ghost thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And replaced him with Nolan North. So I can't come up with a sweet name like Peter Dinklebot anymore. This is like Nolan Northlebot, but that doesn't roll off the tongue quite as well.
They really should have thought of that.
I know. And there's like a lot of articles that refer to Dinklebot too. So it's, you know.
That's true.
It's a thing. But as far as I can tell, he just reread all the same lines up through level 20 or so, which I'm through like the first expansion's worth of content now, I think. They've sort of rearranged things. Maybe there's some new cutscenes that I missed or forgot about the first time. But it really doesn't seem better, honestly. And I think the issue is not the writing. I think the issue is the voice directing. It's not the casting. It's the writing and direction.
Because I did listen to some Dinklebot samples when they were making the switchover. And it is a interesting reading.
Oh, it's very, like, drawl and bored sounding.
Right, yeah. He's like your AI companion or whatever, and he sounds infinitely bored by everything.
He sounds really bored, yeah. So there's a couple of key moments where you like wake up this like lair of the bad guys is the one that stuck out to me, and like Dinklebot was like, "We've woken the hive," and like you're like, "Great, we woke the hive." And the North one is like, it makes it feel like, oh shit, we did something bad, which like, I guess I appreciate, but like, I don't know, maybe it's just because I ran that mission so many times that Dinklage is burned into my brain at this point, you know? But it'd be interesting to see somebody who came to it now clean and see if they actually got the story that's going on, because I am not getting it still.
I've heard that the Taken King is actually really story intensive DLC, and I know you haven't had a chance to play any of the new content, but that sounds kind of cool because I think one of the problems with Destiny at launch was that it didn't have a lot of story, or the story wasn't that great.
Yeah, so it was kind of hidden. So I've heard the same thing from a couple of friends who have like gone all the way through and were interested in the story. They liked it. They were pretty happy with it. But I think it all starts after 25 or so, which is where the boost takes you to. So I'll probably get there this week or by the next podcast, and then we can talk about it. But I hope so, because the story in the first one, it's really fucking lazy writing. Okay, let's just get that out of the way. Like, the enemy is literally called the Darkness.
Wow.
You are guardians working for the light. And it's like the most boring, obvious story ever. Basically, this big ball, like Death Star thing, showed up by Earth and like helped people, I guess. And then there was like some hundreds of years of hooray, and then the Darkness came because the Darkness follows the Traveler, which is what the Death Star thing is called. Yeah, and now there's like space zombies and space bugs and space robots. That and like the guys from the Fifth Element, one of the things looks like those like the old race, the big waddly guys from the Fifth Element.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, yeah, I don't know. Like, it would be nice to see how it all fit together a little bit. Like, I think there actually was a bunch of lore. They just buried in the thing they called the Grimoire, which was all sort of external to the game.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah, right, and it's not even, like, a BioShock game where if you happen to spend 100% of your time finding all of the audio tapes, you will get the whole story.
Yeah, that is my jam.
You can't even read the Grimoire in the game. You have to read it on the mobile app.
Oh, no, fuck that.
That's an interesting choice.
It's weird. I
mean huge bullshit.
Luckily, there's plenty of waiting time. There's, like, tons and tons of loading time. So while you're loading every time, you can look on your phone. So the problem with the game is that all of this stuff makes it feel really stupid to people who are looking for some amount of story and some amount of interesting hook to be playing. But the game is still some of the best shooting I've played in years. So I'm not a Call of Duty player or anything like that, so I don't really can't really compare it to like those. But like compared to, you know, it feels like the early Halos where like you played them and you're like, they got it right.
I have heard really good things about The Taken King, and not only that, I've heard it's sold like crazy, and I don't think I saw exact numbers, but basically people at Activision were wandering around chortling, so I think it sold extremely well.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. It was crazy crowded, and all the queues were popping really fast and everything, so that's good.
Has the change to Nolan North, like, changed your game? It's kind of an interesting example of how voice acting can potentially influence a game experience with someone coming in and doing the exact same lines again. So I'm just wondering if it at all altered your playthrough.
No, not nearly as much as, like, FemShep versus ManShep did. Like, those felt like different characters in different games almost because one person was awesome and one person was a giant douche. this really...
Well, you're not wrong.
Yeah, I mean, they even, like, put a little, like, robotic overlay on his voice, so it sounds very similar. I don't feel like that was the thing. I don't feel like he got particularly good voice direction either, Nolan North. Maybe he had a chance to play the game before he read the lines, which would have probably helped a little bit. I'm not super impressed so far with that stuff. Because the story is still thin, at least in the early part of the game. So, and I now have the problem, the leveling problem, where they removed, like, before they had basically a difficulty slider where you could, like, boost the difficulty on each of the missions as you went in. And they basically went now for the base level and the highest possible difficulty level and took out all of the intermediate difficulty levels.
Oh, that's
really weird. Yeah, because you, like, over-level things a little bit or go play in the PvP and get some levels, and, like, then everything's super easy, and before I could, like, bump it up if I wanted something hard. It's just weird. I don't know if there's, like, too much content and they couldn't really figure it out. Who knows?
Yeah, okay. That seems really strange that they would do that.
Yeah, maybe they just found that people weren't really using the intermediate ones.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of another good example where, I mean, FemShep, as you said, FemShep and ManShep, where the voice acting, it's easy to compare the two, and I can't think of a really good example. But it seems like I'm sort of disappointed that it hasn't changed the overall feel of the game, because it seems like you could do so much with, like, voice acting and a good voice reading.
Yeah, I think the stuff that's added to the game is that there's a lot more lines from Nathan Fillion and... oh, I can't remember her name. Who plays Zoe on Firefly?
Gina Torres.
There you go. And Lance Reddick, who... those are, like, the three class trainers. And now I feel like... They got a lot more lines, too. And so now I feel like when I'm going off to do a mission or, like, the, like, patrols, which is sort of just, like, run around and do random tasks for a while, I feel like those characters have way more personality, but the bot, who's the sort of personal companion, narrator, storyteller, like, does not feel much stronger yet to me, so...
Do you find it kind of distracting when, like, it's Nathan Fillion? I'm playing Guild Wars 2 lately, and one of the personal story characters is voiced by Felicia Day. But every time I talk to this character, I just think, hey, that's Felicia Day. It kind of actually takes me out of it. I don't know. Do you find that, like, you're like, hey, that's Nathan Fillion?
I do. And I don't know. I think maybe Nolan North has done so many voices that I don't really get distracted by him anymore. It's kind of like,
sure, it's like
Jennifer
Troy
Hale.
Baker. You're just like, whatever.
Yeah. And Jennifer Hale's the same way too, right? Like, it's like some well-done female voice acting, and it's like probably Jennifer Hale, but, like, it's not always the same voice. Terra, in Terra, Commander Ty from Battlestar Galactica was like the commander guy. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, that guy, yes. He pulled me out of it 100% immediately. So I totally, yeah, I seriously had that problem. Like, I remember you.
Arrow, I think you've talked about having that problem where, like, you have a hard time getting past the voice actor.
Well, it depends. Sometimes it's a problem and sometimes it's a delight, really. I had trouble playing a female trooper in The Old Republic because that character is so close to the way I played my femship that her also being Jennifer Hale was a distraction. But I had no problem with Jennifer Hale anywhere else in the game. Like, she's everywhere in that game.
Yeah, and it seems like with the trooper, they said to her, be femship.
Probably. And that's cool. It wasn't for me. But I don't have any trouble with Brian Bloom, who is the male trooper. Mm-hmm. And that would also be distracting for other... It's also kind of a game for me. I've always been super into voice acting and voice actors and tracking that stuff down, like, my entire life, my entire cartoon watching life, which kind of came to a head, I think, with Gargoyles when I was in high school, which was a big deal for my generation and was full of everyone awesome in the sci-fi world.
Yeah, I was watching Metal Gear Solid 3 playthrough the other day, and one of the characters turned out that at the end, they're like, that's Jennifer Hale, and I had no idea. So I guess, you know, that's really, I mean, obviously, but to me, who doesn't know much about the industry, that's probably a mark of a good voice actor, is that they can do a role, and I don't know it's them.
She also does Cinderella in Tiny Dino's current favorite show, one of the Disney cartoons, which is hilarious. Huh. And meanwhile, the Gup is crazy into Original Flavor Powerpuff Girls, which is 90% Jennifer Hale.
Oh, is it really?
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Any female character who is not one of the Powerpuff Girls is Jennifer Hale.
No way!
So, yeah, she's Miss Bellum, she's Miss Keen the teacher, she's Sedusa, she's Princess. It's hilarious.
Do you have that problem with actors, non-voice actors?
I have trouble with voice actors in acting roles.
Okay. Sure.
Oh, yeah, okay, you've talked about this with Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah, I had this I could not... I understand that Once Upon a Time is guilty pleasure for a lot of people. I could not get past, like, the first two episodes because Raphael Sparge does not look like I think Raphael Sparge look. And yeah. It's really disconcerting. Meanwhile, there was one of the shows that we mainline on Netflix is Castle, and the victim du jour on a season, I think season 4 or somewhere, was an episode we just watched, was Brandon Keener. And Mr. Arrow said, my head popped up like a bloodhound. Just, he opens his mouth and it's, Garrus? And he looks exactly like himself, which is totally fine.
But I do think, like, it was weird when we had Bioshock Infinite and The Last of Us come out at the same year, and Joel and Booker, both Troy Baker, doing pretty much the same voice. And I did find it somewhat disconcerting.
Yeah, and it wasn't disconcerting for me because, like Steve Bloom, he's done a lot of anime dubs. So, I mean, it's pretty much all the same. I mean, Crispin Freeman, Steve Bloom, Troy Baker, they're in everything all the time forever.
Right, and that's kind of the Jennifer Hale thing for me too, right? It's like I know that if this person's involved, it's going to be good, but it's not. It doesn't take me out because there's so many voices that I've heard, right? It sort of comes along with it.
Yeah, with the exception of what Arrow pointed out when she did the Trooper, which was definitely do femship.
Yeah.
And it was a little, it's kind of like, and also that was like right after Mass Effect 2. And I'm like, I feel very strange about this. But otherwise, yeah, when Jennifer Hale comes up, usually, you know, even if I do notice it's her. Although I didn't even notice it was her during Krem until someone mentioned it. And I'm like, oh yeah, of course it is.
During what?
Krem, a character in Dragon Age.
Oh.
A really awesome character.
Fair enough.
A really awesome character.
I know, yeah.
The only one who ever really distracts me, I think, is Cam Clark, because he's... I associate him the most with Deflatormouse in The Tick.
That's a good one. I have moments where I listen to Iron Bull and I try to imagine Freddie Prinze Jr. and I can't.
He's really good.
Is that...
He is. He's really good.
Is this Jr.? The point where... Yeah, we could...
Yeah.
He's an excellent voice actor. He's also one of the leads in the animated Star Wars show that's currently airing in Rebels.
Yeah, Rebels. Yeah. He's actually... Yeah, he's been in a bunch of stuff that's... I'm always surprised. I'm like, Freddie Prinze
really
Jr., you were a terrible actor, but a really good voice actor.
It's nice to see he did good after Wing Commander, you know?
Oh, God.
He's given back to the sci-fi fantasy community.
Well, it's a really different skill set, which is why I think it's interesting when you talk about how there doesn't seem to be much of a change between Nolan North and Peter Dinklage. Because you can have an excellent film actor who is no good on stage or no good voicing. Like, a great actor is not necessarily great everywhere.
Right. Yeah, that's really interesting. And it's really cool when they are good at both, right? Like, I always thought Robin Williams was really... I mean, like, I don't know if he did much voice acting outside of, like, the Genie in Aladdin, but the Genie in Aladdin is some of the best voice acting ever, but it's really just Robin Williams. I don't know if it's actually good voice acting. It's just an awesome character.
Yeah.
No, I think it takes a lot of work to sit in a room and make it sound real.
So. I mean, Mark Hamill's like that too, right? Like, Mark Hamill, when you see him in Star Wars or other things, is pretty not great. He does a good Joker, that's for sure.
He doesn't like being in front of a camera. He much prefers voice acting. He said right. So. Mm-hmm. And
he just wanted to go to Tosche Station to get some power converters, you guys.
And then you've got somebody like Greg Ellis, who started on stage doing West End musicals, for Christ's sake, and who has done a million things both behind a microphone and in front of a camera. And he's always really good at all of them.
I think what we can take away from this is that it's hard to know how someone's going to do until they actually have a shot at it. Because before Destiny came out, and they're like, and your little AI companion is voiced by Peter Dinklage. And I'm like, Peter Dinklage, that's amazing. And then you listen to it, and for whatever reason, perhaps he had poor direction, maybe whatever, it does come across like he is just really painfully bored.
Really
by everything
bored. And that part, it is true that Nolan Northalbot is less bored sounding all the time. He has like more emotions, but I think they're still asking him to play a robot voice, right? He's still an AI. He still sort of has a... There's still a monotone going on.
A robot voice that doesn't suck. So that's probably a direction.
Yeah, that's why I think it is a direction thing. And like I said, maybe it gets better later. And it wouldn't be... I wouldn't be surprised if I'm projecting Peter Dinklage's robot voice onto the Nolan North bot voice that I hear, having... heard, because it's the same thing. Like, you play the same missions over and over and they're all voiced, so I've heard the same thing 100 times.
Yeah,
hearing somebody else do it similarly but slightly different, like, it's hard to necessarily distinguish yet. So
that's such a strange decision to go back and retroactively change there,
it would have been so easy to get an upgrade for your bot,
yeah,
and have it change the voice. And like,
right, or be like, in the new stuff, you have a different Ghost Mark II or whatever.
Right, and there's like a bunch of shit that like pokes fun at that kind of thing. Like, Destiny has done a bunch of nods to out of game things, so it's weird that like they had like a loot farming location early on. There was like some cave that would spawn guys over and over, and people hung out there for hours because apparently it was the best way to get stuff. And, like, when they finally patch it out, they, like, add it in a voice that, like, makes fun of you if you keep trying to shoot there, right?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love it's like it when they do stuff like that.
Yeah, totally. So it's, like, a nod to that thing. They could have easily done the same thing with Dinklage Bot, and I don't know, maybe they didn't want to pay him anymore.
You get a stage actor, a screen actor, and you want them to do voice work, that's going to be expensive.
I'm sure he's busy. He's in a bunch of shit. Game of Thrones or whatever.
But yeah, re-recording everything is also more money.
Yeah, I don't know. But
it's
like,
a strange decision.
It was very strange.
It feels like, I don't think they intended it to come across this way, but it feels very much like they're like, well, fine, you can't be in our game at all anymore. Like, it feels like they're kind of punishing Peter Dinklage for something.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of negative reaction from the community to him. So going on, like, somebody who picks up the game now, right? Like, the Taken King is really, I mean, it's like Burning Crusade, right? It's like a big, major reinvention of the game. So I'm sure they brought in people who were like, oh, I don't want to be behind or whatever. And they're trying to do that and sell it. And I mean, like, they're hinting at Destiny 2, but I take it in the same way as WoW 2, right? Which is like, I don't know
Never.
that that's ever going to happen,
Yeah.
honestly. Right? Like, once you have people here, you don't want to break up the player base across multiple games.
Yeah, look at how well it worked for EverQuest.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Or all the Call of Duty series.
And again, when it comes to the quarterly financials, I think Destiny is a license to print money right
Yeah,
now,
it sure
so.
is. Yeah. So like in a couple of years when somebody picks up this game, like they're gonna hear Nolan North and it's gonna be the same throughout, and that's fine. So maybe it's just about that, right? Rather than having a worse experience to start. So it's better to do it now than then.
Yeah, well, I'll be interested to hear on the next episode how you like the new stuff, the new
Yes,
contents and
still fun to shoot.
stories. Shire is good. Still fun to shoot. Yay! So I want to briefly touch on another topic, and we probably won't have too much to say about this because I think we're all on the same page, and when we agree on things, we don't have much to say, oddly enough. But there was an interesting, controversial article that came out on Touch Arcade last week called "We Own You: Confessions of an Anonymous Free-to-Play Producer." So anyone who has been following this podcast with any regularity knows that we're not necessarily big fans of the free-to-play business model. But the thing I thought was really interesting about this article is it brought up two major objections that I'd never even considered in my campaign to dislike free-to-play, which is that they are tracking so much of your information and, putting that into their great big information decks and selling their information about you. And also just the lengths they go to secure funding, like the buy-in from their whales, being the people who spend a shitload of money on your game. And just talking about, so putting in like actual custom items in the game because they know that that dude right there, they've tracked enough information about him that they know that he is a fan of a particular, strange team. So they will make sure to put in, you can buy a flag for that team and stuff like that. Like that is a level I knew that it was predatory, but this anonymous essay really was like, wow, it's really predatory. Holy
It's
shit.
targeted and predatory, right? Like, yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's not just we're trying to suck all the money out of all the people. It's like we have taken your information and boiled it down to, you, Jim, like corn, so now you can buy a corn on the cob for your farm in Farmville. Like, that's intense.
I knew about the tracking because, in general, on the internet, if something is free, then you are the product.
Even if it's not actually free, like free to play games.
Yeah, even if it's not actually free, you are the product. I mean,
Right.
even something as simple as Google, you are the product. They're selling you to other people. That's why it is free for you. The granularity of that data down to, hey, you like this football team, so spend $10 on stuff for football. That's fucked up. Wow. I am super glad that I do not link any information to any of my free-to-play games ever, because wow.
Yeah, I mean, just to use a quote a sentence from this article, every time you play a free-to-play game, you just build this giant online database of who you are, who your friends are, and what you like and don't like. Hooray! That's great. Now, as you say, Arrow, like you have to come. We've come to expect a certain amount of that on the internet. It comes to probably no surprise to anybody that Facebook, for example, tracks everything you do and all your clicks and blah blah blah.
Even if you're not on Facebook.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And the fact that they can take this information and create such a granular view and be like, we are targeting these particular people who we know will spend all this money on our games. And one of the responses I saw to this article was, well, I'm never going to be a whale, so what does it matter to me? And I don't like that attitude.
That's a terrible attitude.
One day it's going to end up being you. You're going to be the sucker. That's the way it works. I don't know. This makes me want to go uninstall all my free-to-play games from my phone.
I'm sitting here playing Final Fantasy Record Keeper while we talk, so.
I see you've taken a lot away from this
Well,
article.
I don't
yeah.
have a link to my Facebook account.
I don't have it linked to my Facebook account, but that doesn't really matter, does it? Because that is part of the point. It's also the cross-side server tracking scripts and cookies and it's part of the thing that people are up in arms about advertising with iOS 9, which you can now put content blockers on because people are like, oh shit, I'm not going to get all your mobile browsing habits no matter what if you've ever visited a site that I've associated with briefly. So I'm in a weird position with this because I really hate the business model like you guys, but I also work for a company that is building databases of advertisement.
Wow.
Which you guys do. Don't act surprised, you knew. We're ostensibly doing it, you know, at the moment to help people save money as opposed to sell their information. But it's not that far-fetched that we would do that. And the bigger thing is that, like, it's more like you guys are surprised that they can figure out who an individual user is and what their habits are. Like, that doesn't shock me at all. Like I don't even have that much data, and I can figure that kind of stuff out. I don't currently have a lot of user data, but if I was collecting user data, then I would be able to do that. I mean, I can do that from the other side, right? I can see who, like, products and how the products are flowing and where they are and all that kind of thing. Like, data's really cool, but it's also fucking terrifying. And I think it's a place where, as a society, we have rapidly outpaced our ability to both understand and regulate it, and we need,
I think that's true,
smart,
yeah,
people thinking about these things and what it actually means, because, like, we're pretty far down the road of, like, everybody wants all this data and everybody quote-unquote requires this data to run their business, and if we start turning it off, like, a lot of companies are gonna explode. But it's not necessarily a bad thing, but if we go another 10 years before we talk about it, we're totally fucked.
Especially since there's no limits on how long someone can keep this data.
That's right.
Like, once they have access to that information, they have it forever.
Well, and what they can use it for and who they can sell it to and all these sorts of things, right? Like,
and, like, it's like with a credit card. If they sell your loan, your student loan gets sold to 6 or 8 different companies down a chain because everyone is going out of business, then you don't know who's got your data, where they've got their data, who their business partners are that also have that data.
That's right. My mortgage is the same way, right? Like, we got a mortgage, and before we made the first payment on our mortgage, on our refinance, it had already been sold 3 times.
Yeah.
Right.
I just want to do a brief interruption here to say to our one YouTube viewer who is Mangle, hi Mangle, he has sent a comment that says, bring back Vajra.
Oh man, that's so harsh. Maybe it wasn't for me. Maybe he's not talking about replacing me with Vajra.
Maybe he just means in addition.
Maybe he thinks Lior should be gone since we could get Vajra in that seat release.
Oh no, I'm pretty sure he's terrified of both me and Lior.
Nice. Yeah. There, I do have an announcement at the end of this podcast in relation to Vajra. So,
oh, dear God.
There you go. Don't worry, Alan. You're okay. You're safe. You're safe. Sorry, but that just came in, so I want to acknowledge our YouTube viewer. Hi, Mangle. Yes, no, I agree. It's concerning. You know, the ad block thing with it being native to iOS. Is it iOS 9?
iOS 9, yep.
On mobile? Yep. Yeah, okay.
I'm actually trying to find it because I have no idea what.
So I can talk to you about it afterwards, but you have to install a content blocker before you get the option to do it.
Okay.
And it's caused quite a bit of navel gazing in the sort of content circles of, and I understand, because as someone who writes things for the internet that I am occasionally paid to write, that is how people make the money with which they pay me, is through advertisements. Yeah. But on the other hand, I use ad blocker. I almost never turn it off, except for in particular cases where I really want to support a site. And because the ads are terrible. I mean, they're a vector for viruses. They not only are advertising to me, they're also tracking everything I do. So it's like they're double dipping that information. I'm being advertised to, and they're tracking me. And the thing that people are saying is, well, if you don't allow ads, you're either going to kill cool websites that create content, or the advertisers will come up with a way to get around these ad blockers, you know, or everyone's going to move to Facebook is the big thing they threaten.
Good.
Don't do this.
And then I'll have to read your shit.
Look, I mean, I sympathize as someone who can make money from advertisements,
absolutely,
and writing. I sympathize. However, you know, on the other hand, ads suck.
Yeah.
And they just have taken to such an extreme, it actively drops the quality of my online experience if I start to allow ads. And not to mention, that's where all your viruses are coming from nowadays. It's through stupid banner ads.
Yeah, I actually think a number of content creators that I've listened to have sort of weighed in on this too. And a lot of them believe that the ads suck and they break the, you know, embedding the ads. If they want to get advertising revenue, they're forced to embed the weird ass scripts and the tracking and all that shit as part of it, because they're not actually buying an ad from a specific advertiser. They're buying it from an advertising network who requires all these things to be in place. And on top of that, it does disrupt the content. You know, it makes your phone or your websites run slower. Like, if you turn off ad blocking, or turn, you know, toggle it between on and off and load the same page over and over and go to like a big mainstream site, like the New York Times front page, right? It's like fucking terrible. But like on my machine, it loads quickly because I don't let your shit run. And then they're like, okay, so think about, so Ars wrote a big thing about this, because Ars Technica is pretty like heavily against, or pretty at least upfront about how many people block their ads, you know, which is a large percentage. And they're kind of self-selected for people who might run ad blockers anyway. The problem is it ruins the site. It ruins the layout of the site. It becomes overbearing. It gets in the way of the browsing experience, and it sucks. And so I do block ads. They're like, oh, we'll just whitelist this. But the problem is, if I whitelist you, I don't actually know who I'm whitelisting. Like, I would rather give ours $5 or $10 or $15 a year or so, which is probably about. And I actually don't know how much my individual ad revenue is worth to them, and it's probably, as an individual, not very much, right? It's all about aggregates. I'd way rather give them that money straight up so that they could keep producing content than whitelist them and open myself up to all this shit anyway.
I agree. If I know that, for example, say the Toast, it's the Toast who's getting my information, they're the ones who are presenting the ads, I would be more inclined to whitelist. But as you say, they have nothing to do with the ads. They just like set up a spot where they, you know, embed a code from their ad network, and they don't get my personal information or whatever. You know, it's all going to some sort of third party who I don't even know who they are. So it's asking a lot for me to be like, yeah, sure, send me those ads, no problem. Something that a lot of places are doing, I think BuzzFeed in particular is doing this more, is creating content that is an ad. So, you know, like the,
yeah, that's so one bad. Of the, that's way worse.
Sort of, but I sort of don't mind that either. Like, instead of showing me an ad for some kind of food, show me a recipe where you use that. And if that's like a legitimate recipe, I would much rather see that.
Okay. And that's what bloggers have been doing for 15 years. You hook up with a brand and they pay you money and you write a post about whatever they want.
Yeah, that...
Right, and then I'm reading something. I'm happy. Everyone's happy.
I'm okay with that stuff if it's disclosed. I mean...
It is legally... You are legally required to disclose that it's a sponsored post.
You are, but it's not always obviously disclosed. Like, that's one of the things that they... I mean, like, you open up a copy of a magazine these days and, like, you'll see, like, a 10-page insert that's, like, some fucking in-depth review of some product, and it's all sponsored, but it's in the same typesetting, it's in the same font, it's all, like, you know, sometimes it's on a different colored background page, which they don't usually do, except for sponsored content. So, like, you know, usually in print I can figure it out, sometimes after a page, right? And then, and it's harder to do on the web. And I actually would rather have that kind of thing, or I would rather have, you know, something like the last comparison I heard was the newspaper, right? Like, you could go and buy a print copy of the newspaper and, like, yeah, you're buying this thing and you're getting a ton of advertisement, but somebody took the time to design that advertisement and place that advertisement and place the print around that advertisement, and there's thought that goes into each individual advertisement and not just like, it'll just happen to go wherever it goes, right? I mean, I think that's better. Like, I don't know. I'd still rather pay people for things. It's hard when you link me a copy. You know, when we pass links around, this is one of the places where this breaks down, right? Like, like, if I browse with ad blocks off and then we all link each other content and, like, maybe we've whitelisted sites or whatever, when I pass it to you, I'm passing you the information and then you're consuming that content, but you're consuming it in a free way and you're not feeding back even though you've consumed that content. I don't know how to get around that.
Yeah, I mean, there needs to be, if we're going to go that way, there needs to be a reasonable system to do that. Because, like, even just when it comes to news that I follow off Twitter in a day, I'm probably visiting, like, a dozen right. sites a day. And so, you know, I don't want to, of course, pay $10 a month to each of these sites. But if there is some sort of great conglomerate that I could drop, you know, $20 into, that I would be into that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like maybe one of the answers is, I don't really want to make Google the, like, manager of this kind of thing. But I mean, like, I use them as an example because I use Chrome primarily, right? So, like, if I dropped a tip jar in, basically, in, and I filled up the tip jar on my browser, and then I allowed, my browser knows all of the sites I'm going to, regardless of if I'm tracking, if they're tracking me or not. Like, even if you're browsing incognito mode or whatever, it's, like, still following you. It still knows where you went, right? So if the browser had a way of doling that money out over the course of your month or whatever it happens to be, like, maybe that's a way that we could proactively pay for the things that we actually consume without having to deal with all the other bullshit. I'm sure there would be some way to that would get taken advantage of too.
Yeah, I think that's definitely an option they'll have to look into.
I don't know. In the end, like, we're not the consumers of most of these media content creation sites anyway. Like, their business relationship is not with us, it's with the advertisers. So this puts us again in one of these situations where, like, we're the product.
Yeah.
Yay. Hooray.
We don't have much time, so in a short version, we wanted to talk briefly about TV shows that we've been watching lately, because we've been watching a lot of TV. Ellie, you said you've been watching lots of crappy sci-fi.
Yeah, it's, I'm not even sure if it's crappy, but I watched the first season of Dark Matter, which is on the Sci-Fi Channel, and then I watched, now I'm like two-thirds of the way through Killjoys, which is on directly before Dark Matter, and they're both totally trying to recreate Firefly.
I could get behind that.
Yeah, well, they're not doing it, but
but
it's like dark. So Dark Matter is like six people wake up on a ship and don't remember who they are and nothing about their past, except they're on a, you know, they figure out that they're on some mission to do some bad shit, basically, right? And they're like, why are we here? And then, like, they're trying to figure it out, but there's clearly, like, the Jane character, and there's, like, the Zoe character, and there's the, you know, always, someone's always Mal, and, you know, whatever. So it's cheesy, generic sci-fi, but it was actually really fun to watch. It was, you know, you kind of have to deal with the characters. They're not great. And then Killjoys is about mercenaries who work for the company that the Megacorp hires to let anybody do whatever they want as long as they pay them, and they're sort of outside, above the law.
That's interesting.
It's actually really interesting. It's both of these actually have a woman running the ship as, like, the primary captain or captain's role in the case of Dark Matter, and that's kind of cool. I think sci-fi can do that a little bit more. Yeah, I don't know. Killjoys is pretty fun. It's got, it has young Cyclops? Not Cyclops. Iceman. Iceman, you know who Iceman from the...
Sean...
Ashmore. His last name's Ashmore. It has his twin brother.
Oh, the twin. Okay, they're Canadian. That's how I know this.
You know all Canadians.
Actually, their IMDb pages are hilarious because they're totally, like, giving each other shit in their IMDb bios. I find them both to be really fun, and they're both, I don't know if they're on Netflix or anything. I'm watching them on Comcast On Demand, because I still have Comcast. but when they come out somewhere else, maybe they're on Hulu. Maybe they're on Hulu.
No, Sci-Fi doesn't air on Hulu. They have their own app.
Okay, they're probably on the Sci-Fi app then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, they'd be on the Sci-Fi channel.
I think they're fun if you're looking for, like, sort of semi-ridiculous, low-cost sci-fi.
Person of Interest came on Netflix. It's, like, a new this month on Netflix, and I started watching it because I like crime procedurals. And it's pretty good. The shtick is there's a machine, see, and the machine is used to... It was created to detect terrorism before it happens.
Oh, that's
but
always...
it can also but it also detects murder before it happens. But the government kind of ignores the murder part because they don't have time for that. They're mostly interested in the terrorism. So the guy who created the machine has the murder numbers kind of sent to him. And they get a social insurance number. Wait, is
social
that what they
security.
Call it in America? Social security number. And they don't know if it's the victim or the killer. And all they get is a social security number. And so there's kind of like a nerd hacker guy and James Caviezel. Yeah, that sounds right. Plays an ex-CIA is grizzled.
Is that Ben from Lost?
James Caviezel?
Yeah, Ben from Lost is the hacker, dude. Yeah. Finch and Reese. And they go on adventures. And
we're going back to our earlier conversation, that's one of those dudes that I can't ever see him and not as the creepy fucker from Lost.
See, I didn't see Lost, so I guess I'm free from that concern.
Don't watch Lost. Oh, my God.
So I'm watching that, and I've also started The Blacklist.
I love The Blacklist! Cool. Oh my God!
Which, I've only watched like 4 episodes or so. I'm not totally sure if I'm into it.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's the Fedora one, right?
That is the Fedora one. Yeah, so James Spader is basically a fixer who has been working with extremely large-scale criminal elements for a while, and he turns himself into the U.S. government and says basically, if you let me hang around and wear my fedora, I will help you catch the people on my blacklist who are the biggest and baddest people in the world.
Season 3 is about to start. It's so great. It is my favorite guilty pleasure show because it's absolutely atrocious and James Spader's having the time of his life. He's seriously having so much fun, and there are so many charming individual characters that I do not give a shit how ridiculous the show is.
Did you ever watch White Collar?
I have never seen White Collar.
I actually literally watched the first episode of that right before we started recording today.
Okay, how is that compared to The Blacklist? Blacklist seems like more serious-ish than White Collar ever was.
It is a lot more serious, but it's also, there's a lot going on in this show.
I would agree with that, Ellie. It is more serious. It's still not super serious. It's still kind of, spy.
For a procedural drama on a major network that is super serious, they're actually really good about not having sexy lady murder.
That's true. And that's one of the things I really like about Person of Interest as well, because I watched a lot of Criminal Minds, which I enjoyed, but it was always
sexy
like,
lady murder.
How's this lady, sexy lady murder of
the week? CSI was like that too. And I watched a shitload of that, and then I got in it, then I got bored.
Yeah. I'm really over that. So I will give it to both The Blacklist and Person of Interest. They stay away from that. So that bravo.
I liked White Collar a lot. That was one of our favorites, but they finally finished their run last year, so it's all done now.
Okay, that is on my list to start watching next.
So far my favorite of that style has been Burn Notice, but I'm still not done with it. I've got one
we
more
couldn't
season.
Get into Burn Notice. Well, I liked it, but Talon wasn't into Burn Notice, and therefore it fell off of the...
It takes a while to hit its stride because the characters are playing particular archetypes, and it takes a while for the... I don't want to say the team to mesh, but that's pretty much what's going on.
I think she wanted to punch the main guy in the face because he's got a really douchey face and acts like a giant douche.
I will. Okay, watching Person of Interest, I'm like, because James Caviezel in Person of Interest, and unfortunately I can't remember Mike's the name of the character. Anyway, the lead guy in Burn Notice, they kind of play somewhat of the same role, like they can't be secret agents anymore, now they've got to get by in the real world. And every time I watch Person of Interest, I think this would be so much better if it had the Burn Notice guy in it.
Jeffrey Donovan.
Thank you.
You're
yes,
welcome.
Jeffrey Donovan, you're super cool and have good facial expressions.
I can never see James Caviezel as anything other than the Count of Monte Cristo. It doesn't
I just
matter.
I think of him as Jesus from that Jesus movie.
Yes, the Count of Monte Cristo. That's another guilty pleasure movie for me.
Arrow, do you have any other guilty pleasure TV shows you're watching lately you want to recommend while we're doing this?
So we already talked about The Blacklist. Season 3 of The Blacklist is starting. The other TV show I keep up with is Haven, speaking of sci-fi original shows. That final season starts, I think, in 2 weeks. And they actually have an ending. They're wrapping up the show. I'm really excited because I've actually started getting kind of stressed out with this because it's been 5 seasons now. I've been stressed out that it's going to get canceled and there aren't going to be any answers and I'm going to have to go and punch someone. Because I can't stop watching it.
So you've said Haven before. That's sci-fi?
Yes, it is. And the first four seasons are on Netflix currently. Haven is it's a monster of the week show, but no one takes it very seriously.
Is it scary? How scary is it?
Well, you can handle it.
Okay, is it like Sleepy Hollow style? Because Sleepy Hollow,
it's not as scary as Sleepy Hollow because it's more about people dealing with bad shit rather than just fixing up bad shit demons coming to eat everyone.
Okay, Sleepy Hollow starts this week too.
Oh man, I have to catch up on season two, so I haven't. Yeah. It's on my list. I really like it, but it's not one that I put on the DVR. I will wait for it to hit Netflix because I want to mainline that shit all at once.
that's reasonable.
Because Sleepy Hollow is, I don't know, it's like the nerd version of meth. Just all at once. Shoot it all. And that I think is the way you should experience Sleepy Hollow.
We are going to wrap up this episode because we have been talking for over an hour and it's time for us to stop. But while we're on the subject of entertainment, I wanted to say that if you listened to last week's show, there was Vajra here with me, and probably shortly after you are listening to this podcast, we will be launching our brand new podcast. It's about horror movies. It's called the Black Lodge Screening Room, and it should be fun. So if you like horror movies, I will post new episodes on my blog, Lyra Blog, and you should check it out because Vajra and I have a lot to say about them.
Can I come talk about the Babadook?
Yes, you can!
Wait, if you do that, then I don't have to watch it.
That's true. Well, you're off the hook now, Allie, because now I'm channeling all my horror movie stuff into another show. So
this is the greatest day of my life.
I know. You're off. You do not have to watch any more scary things, which means I no longer have to watch Toy Story.
No, that is total bullshit, because we made this pact.
Oh, no.
I'm going to watch at least one, so just so that you have to watch something.
We can trade. We can do one, but generally you are off the hook. But yeah, we want to talk about horror movies. We're going to review movies we've seen, talk about recent trailers, and the first episode is us talking about the legacy of John Carpenter and fighting over which is his best horror movie.
Oh, that's... Oh.
Preview?
Oh.
Preview?
Preview? Yes. Do you want to tease what it is?
Of what it is?
He's not here to review these,
no, don't,
so
because
it's
I'm
perfect.
I will bet you $1 million I will argue with you, and then we will get off the recording.
I will say we're like, okay, if you don't count The Thing or Halloween, because those are the obvious answers.
But no.
But they're so good.
Okay, no, you can't say what's the best John Carpenter movie other than his two best movies.
But you can't, well, exactly, because that makes the answer obvious.
No,
so we tried to pick alternative ones.
That's,
I think our answers will surprise you. So,
it's like you've never talked to Lior about anything, Arrow.
I forget that you guys are always wrong about everything all the time,
oh
forever.
Oh my god.
And if anything is popular, it's no longer good.
No, I'm sorry. No.
Those are both so good they can't even be considered. That's the deal. How could you say anything except those two?
So you're saying what's the third best movie?
What is his third best movie? See, that would be better.
That would be a better question.
Okay,
fine. What is his third best movie? God, and we also complain a lot about remakes of Halloween. So if you like classic horror, or you like ghost stories and stuff, do check it out, Black Lodge Screening Room. Okay. Arrow and Ellie, thank you for coming on the show.
Okay.
Ellie is hysterical with relief.
I'm excited. More podcasts for the Podcast Monster. It's great.
Also play Dragon Age.
I am not allowed to play Dragon Age until after Talon plays Dragon Age, so you have to fight her and not
me. Okay, so that's fine. She should come on the podcast or anywhere that I can talk about Dragon Age.
I have a snarky answer to that, but I will say that after the
show. You can talk at her on Slack.
That's true. No, I talk about Dragon Age anyway. Yeah, I know what you were going to say.
Anyway, that is it for this episode. Episode 82 is in the can. Ellie, thank you for coming on the show.
Hooray!
Arrow, thank you for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Wow. I don't know what to think about that. I think aliens ate Arrowade.
She was polite and nice. What's wrong?
What is that? So thank you to our one YouTube viewer who is probably Mangle. We appreciate you checking in and leaving us snarky comments. It's what we live for. You can find us at leorblog.com/catcontext. We are on Twitter @catcontext. I'm on Twitter, hey, it's Lior. Ellie's on Twitter @thatangrydwarf. And Arrowlade's on Twitter @Arrowlade. Whew. Okay,
got it.
I got nothing else to say.
You didn't even have to write it down this time.
I know, close one. Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.